We turn to the Word of God this morning as it is found in Hebrews chapter 13, the last chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, and on this occasion of the installation of elders and deacons, we will consider verse 7 as the text. We read Hebrews 13, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen." Beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Epistle to the Hebrews is written, as you know, to Jewish Christians who needed to be encouraged to endure in faith in Jesus Christ and to continue embracing him and following him. They had been taught, as you have been taught, that Jesus Christ is the hope and the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. He is the revelation of God, of God's being, of God's power, especially of God's power for the salvation of his people. He is the better mediator of a better covenant. He is the only high priest. He is the one who offers the better sacrifice that actually makes the payment for sin. And he is the one who is able to enter into heaven itself, the right hand of God, to make intercession for God's people. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He did not destroy the Old Testament. He did not take away the meaning of all of the law and the prophets and the priests and the kings. And those Jews who were not Christians, who claimed to continue to follow the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, and who thought that they were serving God, that they were following the pathway of truth and salvation, were only deceiving themselves. They were actually denying God and on the pathway to destruction. But because of those Jews who rejected Christ and who made a historical claim to Moses, the law and the prophets, and to the Old Testament, because they accused the Jewish Christians who followed Christ of blasphemy and brought reproach upon them, these Jewish Christians were struggling with the temptation to turn away from Christ, to give him up. And the letter of Hebrews is a warning to them. Jesus has always been the way to God and to salvation, even in the Old Testament. And that's why in the Old Testament, when people turned away from the law and the prophets and from Moses, they were punished by God. Hebrews 10 verse 28 says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." But then verse 29 goes on to say, "Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God?" The warning is, don't turn from Christ. But positively, the exhortation is, hold fast to the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ. He is the new and the living way to salvation. Follow Christ. He's the way to God. But now practically, how are we to follow Christ? Or to ask the question another way, how does Jesus Christ lead his people, you and me? And the answer that the writer to the Hebrews gives here in chapter 13 is that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the leader and the ruler of his people, appoints leaders and rulers in the church through whom he is pleased to lead his people to God. Christ has established offices in the church, and each office is an office of the ministry of the Word of God. We read in the text, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God." That's the task of the minister. That's the task of the elder. That's the task of the deacon too. Each one in a different way, but each one called to minister the Word of God to the people of God, and in that way rule in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has not only given us those offices, but he's given us men, and we recognize that this morning now. He has given us men in our midst as a congregation to rule us, to lead us, so that we may say, by these men, we are being led by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the congregation is the emphasis here. And the way that we are to view these men, to honor them, to follow them. Three times that comes out here in this chapter. Verse 17 is very well known. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And then notice again verse 24. "Salute salute all them that have the rule over you. And then here in the text, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The profound teaching here in this text is that as we look at the offices and we look at the men who are in the offices of the church, we are to see them and be mindful of them as representatives of Jesus Christ. And so this is the word of God to us this morning, that we must remember our rulers. First of all, being mindful of their authority as rulers. Secondly, being mindful of their example, whose faith we are to follow. And then thirdly, mindful of the faithfulness of Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The text calls us to remember those who have the rule over us and to think about them as rulers and to think about them as those who have authority over us. The word here is not the word we read of in the form for the overseer or bishop that the scriptures use to apply to the elder. But the word here is a general word for ruler and ought to make us think of each one of the offices and say, yes, remember the minister, that man who is called to speak the word of God from the pulpit, whose main calling is to teach the word of God in the catechism room and in many other places. Let's remember him as one who has been appointed to have authority over us. We are to receive the word of God through him. And then remember, be mindful of the elders too. Think of the authority that they have, men who are called to bring the word in their office and all of their work to you. Remember them as men who have the authority to bring the word of God to you. And remember the deacons too. They bring material support to the members of the congregation who have need, but they also bring the word of God. And they have the authority to bring comfortable words of Scripture to those in need. Remember them. Remember them in what way? When we think of that, we think of prayer, don't we? If someone says, remember us, that often means pray for us. Or if you say to someone, remember me, you're saying, remember me in prayer. And certainly that's appropriate for us to think of that here. When in verse 18, the writer says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. We pray for the men who are our rulers, remembering that they are mere men. They are like us, sinners. They are like us, facing temptation every day. They are like us in that they have many weaknesses, and there's no way for them to rule well and to live honestly unless they receive grace and mercy from God. We pray for them. And we remember them too in prayer because of the very important work that they have. They rule the people of God. They care for their souls. That is an awesome responsibility. Remember that when you think of these men, what their work is, a spiritual work, who have been given the souls of you and your children to care for and will answer to God for those souls. For the sake of their work, remember them and pray for them. But the important thing is to be mindful and to remember the authority that they have as your rulers. As I said, the word here is not that of overseer, the one who has the right to inspect your life, to examine your life. Not that these rulers don't have that authority, But that word probably isn't used here because the text doesn't want to focus just on the bishop, the elder. But the word here is ruler, to go before, to lead the people of God by going before them. The word refers to leadership. The duty of all of the office bearers is to go before the congregation and show them the way. Show the way of the truth as regards doctrine and as regards life. To go before the congregation showing this is the narrow way of faith in Jesus Christ as the only Savior. And this is the narrow way of obedience and holiness, serving Jesus Christ. That means that they are to be the leaders in this sense. If we take verse 8 in connection with verse 7, they are always to be pointing you and directing you to Jesus Christ as the only Savior, the only one in whom there is the forgiveness of sins, the only high priest and mediator through whom we have the right to go to heaven. And by their word, but also by their life, we will see they are to point you to the way of life that we must live as Christians, to thank Christ, to praise God, to serve and glorify Him. And the word must be brought. The word must be brought by the minister, the elders, and the deacons to preserve those who are walking on the right way, who are putting their faith in Christ, and who are living in devotion to Him. The word must be brought to admonish those who have gone astray, to give leadership in that sense, to say, no, you're going the wrong way. And that's not according to my word or to my way of thinking. That's according to the word of God. You're going the wrong way, the way that is not pleasing to Christ. They are to provide leadership in receiving those who repent when that admonition is brought, and announcing to them forgiveness, and in casting out those who remain rebellious. This is the task of the pastor, the elders, and the deacons, to lead sinners, to lead them to Christ, to lead them in the confession of their faith, to lead them in the battle against sin, to lead them through every affliction, to lead them through sickness, through trial, even through poverty. And in every situation to lead by bringing the word of Christ to his sheep. But now what does that mean to be mindful of their authority? Does that mean simply this? That minister has the right to bring me the word of God as a minister. The elders have the right to bring the word of God in family visitation. When they go on visits, when they go as a committee to exercise discipline, and the deacons have the right to bring the word as deacons when they distribute the alms. When the text says, remember them, in verse 7, who have the rule over you, and then immediately in verse 8 points to Jesus Christ, the text is saying, this is what you need to be mindful of. When you remember your minister, elders, and deacons, know these men are not self-appointed. Know that they are not appointed either merely by the church. Because a congregational meeting was held and a vote was taken, and these men received the majority of the votes, and now that's what makes this man a minister or an elder or a deacon in the church. But be mindful of these men this way, and know that this is who they really are. These men stand as ambassadors of Christ. They've been chosen by Him. They have been put into the office by Jesus Christ. They've not been placed into the office for their own honor, and not even really chiefly for the honor of Jesus Christ, but for the honor and the glory of God. And of course, every office bearer needs to remember that. He doesn't have his own honor, but the honor of Jesus Christ is shared with him in that office, so that in that office he seeks to honor only him and not himself. But the congregation needs to remember this too. The honor that is to be given to the rulers is honor to Jesus Christ. Now, of course, there will always be evil men and women who reject the Word of God, and therefore who will never honor those who are God's appointed rulers. You can read to them verse 7 here of Hebrews 13. You can read to them verse 17 and say, "Obey them that have the rule over you. They rule over your souls as those who must give account to God. Salute," that is, greet with a right attitude, with a loving attitude, a respectful attitude, those who are your rulers, and they will never obey or honor or respect those office bearers. They will oppose the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God as it is found in the offices. Those who do that will not escape judgment. Those who are in the world will be judged who reject Christ and His Word, but also those who are in the household of faith, those who make a confession that they believe in Jesus Christ. Their punishment will be the sorer for rejecting the Word, especially as it comes through the office. But now this word comes to the members of the congregation who are the true people of God. The word comes to those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who love the Word of God. This word comes to you and says, now you remember these men and you be mindful of the fact that these men represent Christ. And that can be difficult for us to do because we recognize when we look at those men, there's nothing about them that sets them apart from us. They're just like us. They come from the congregation, from among a congregation of people who are sinners by nature. God doesn't say, I'm going to appoint men to special office and they're going to be special men. They're going to come from heaven. But part of what made it difficult sometimes for the people in the Old Testament to say, yes, we're going to honor Moses, is that they looked at Moses and said, he's just like us. He's just a flesh and blood human being. He's a sinner too. He came from the tribe of Levi. What's so special about Moses? And then they could say the same thing about Joshua, probably especially early on after he was appointed to be Moses' successor. He's a younger man. What's so special about him? He's from the tribe of Ephraim. He's just a man like us. And you know, it's possible to think that way even about Jesus Christ. Oh, he's special. He's the Son of God in human flesh and he was without sin. And yet, God sent him to be born of a woman so that he could be taken out of the congregation of God's people. So that when he came, as Isaiah said, there were people who looked at him and said, there's nothing special about him. There's nothing that we see in him that sets him apart. And yet, he was the Christ, the man ordained and appointed by God to be the mediator and the ruler of his people. And that's the word of God to the congregation regarding these men. No, they didn't come from heaven. By nature, they're not any different from you. But it pleases the Lord Christ to put them into the office of elder and deacon. Remember that. Certainly, this remembering means that more than praying for them, we will receive them. We will recognize that when they bring the word of God to us, we must listen to that word as if it's coming to us from Christ Himself. We won't refuse them. We won't shut any door on them. We won't avoid meetings with them. And when we have meetings with them, we won't be disinterested or even worse, adversarial. But we will receive them and show them that we respect them for Christ's sake and appreciate that God has given them responsibility for our souls. And then we'll remember, too, Luke 10, verse 16, where Jesus said to his disciples, "He that doesn't receive you doesn't receive me." So remembering our rulers means that we will receive them. It also means that we will seek them out. Did you notice that in the form? This is encouragement that might be needed now for some who have material need, maybe for a widow, maybe for a member of the congregation who is poor. And it's very hard, people will say that, it's very hard to take that step, to go to the deacons for help. And what this Word of God is saying, be mindful of the fact that these men have been given authority by Christ to help you in the name of Christ. You need help from Christ, you go to these men. And maybe some need that encouragement, not because of poverty or material want, but because of a spiritual need. A hardship, depression. And now, remember the form and think of this text. And don't think only of the minister here, but the elders and the deacons, men who are qualified and appointed by Christ to bring you the help and the care of Christ. Seek them out and they will be a blessing to you. When you are in distress, remember them that have the rule of you in the name of Christ, and they will bring you the word of Christ in your situation. Be mindful of their authority as the representatives of Christ, but then also remembering them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Also do this, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The reference to faith, we understand, is a reference to the truth, of course. These are men who believe the truth of Jesus Christ, who believe all of the truth of Scripture. But the reference here is also to the life of the office bearers. Follow them in their beliefs, follow them in the way that they live, in the way that they express their faith in their daily lives. A very sobering word to the office bearers. The beginning and the end of your conversation must be Jesus Christ. And as you live before God and as you live before the congregation, you must live an exemplary Christian life. And it's only in loving Jesus Christ and serving Him that the office bearer is able to love and to care for the congregation. We live in a day when there's much talk about love and what it means for an elder or a deacon or a minister even to love the congregation, the people of God. And it becomes apparent that the focus isn't on Christ, but the focus is on the people and their itching ears, what they desire to hear and what they want to be told about how to live. And the office bearer loves himself and he loves the congregation. He doesn't really love Christ. And that becomes evident in this, that he doesn't really bring the word of Christ, especially when there's sin. And the rod of discipline needs to be wielded in love, bringing the sinner to repentance. If the office bearer doesn't love Christ and follow him, he can't be faithful. If he doesn't bring the word, then the members of the congregation are not truly loved. And the warning to the office bearer then is love Christ and follow him. But to the congregation is, don't follow mere men. Don't come away from this text this morning thinking that the Word of God said to you, you find that man who's the minister and you follow him. And those elders and those deacons, because of their office, you follow them. Do not follow men blindly. We need to beware of false prophets and teachers, false elders and deacons as well, who do no good to the congregation, but lead many astray and bring ruin. But the other warning here in the text, and this is the more important warning, is those men who are faithful, do not turn from them and fail to follow them and their example. That sometimes happens. We can point to examples of this, maybe in our own experience, of people who turn away from the church, not because the church gave evidence of being a false church where the minister and the other office bearers were unfaithful, but they refused the truth of the Word of God and the faithful work of the office bearers. And so they reject the church and turn away from the church. Or, sadly sometimes, this refusal to follow the office bearers can express itself this way. A man, probably especially, but it could be a woman too, sits in the pew and maintains church membership, sits in the pew with the congregation, with their family, but are always critical of the word preached, always critical of the work of the elders and the office bearers. Nothing good to say. And the result of that will be devastating for those who will not follow the lead of Christ through faithful office bearers, for them and their own souls, but also for the souls of their children and grandchildren. We see that sometimes with great sorrow. Those who are not mindful of Christ and the Word of God as it is brought to them through the ministry of the church in her offices are sometimes cut off in their generations. And so the encouragement is, and I thank God that I can say that to you this morning about the men who were installed and about the men who are continuing to serve as elders and deacons, watch them and follow them. These are men of faith. These are men who believe in Jesus Christ. These are men who love the Word of God and who live that Word of God as men of God, as husbands, fathers, and in the workplace as well. Are you as a congregation watching them? And are you ready to pattern your life after their life? And are you ready to receive, when these faithful men come to you with the Word of God, that word from them? Now, I'm not saying that you need to see in these men perfection, that they are without sin. But can you see in them humility? Can you see in them meekness? Can you see in them a sincere hatred and sorrow for sin? Can you see in them wisdom in this sense, that you can see that they love the Word of God and that they base their whole life on the Word of God? And can you see in them the wisdom that says, all my work I'm going to do, I'm going to bring the Word of God. I'm not going to bring my own opinion, but I'm going to bring God's Word to His people. Follow them. And you may be confident that Jesus Christ is using them to lead you to Himself. And notice I don't say that they are leading you to Christ, the office bearer. Christ uses them to lead you to Himself by their word and by their life. And this will be a blessing to you and to your children. I know that there are some faithful members of the church who have the grief and the sorrow of children who go wayward. And that's not because of the bad example of their parents. Their parents loved the preaching of the word and submitted to it. Their parents respected the elders and were appreciative of the elders and the deacons and their work in the church, and yet it is possible for them to have a child who becomes wayward. But ordinarily, as God works salvation in his church, the church of Jesus Christ, and as Christ is present with his people through the offices, God saves believers and their children. And those who honor the authority of Christ and honor the word of the God that comes through the office bearers, seeking to submit themselves to that, lead their children by that example so that those children sit in catechism and they listen to the teaching of the minister there saying, this is the word of God that I must submit to. They look at the minister with respect. They want to follow him, and they look at the elders when they come for family visitation as men whom they must respect and listen to, and they want to follow them, the example that they give in their personal lives and in their family lives. And then those children make confession of faith and promise to submit to church government, saying, this is the rule of Christ, and I want to live my life as a member of this church under these rulers because I know that's the way to follow and honor Christ. And I thank God that this is the attitude of you as a congregation, by and large, and of the children and young people. There's much sorrow. Verse 17 refers to that the office bearers face in their work, but there's also much joy. And the members of the congregation who are mindful of them, that they represent Christ and carry his authority, and that by following their example, they with the office bearers serve Jesus Christ. Remember them. Mindful of their authority as the authority of Christ, following their example as those who are following Christ, and then mindful of Christ's faithfulness and love. Our attention is called to Jesus here in verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And part of the reason for this coming in the closing chapter of the book of Hebrews is for the writer of the Hebrews to remind the people once again, this is our salvation. This is ever and always the salvation of God's people, Jesus Christ. Even in the Old Testament, yesterday, today, and forever. But it's not a coincidence that that verse comes right after the apostle gives the admonition, remember those who have the rule over you. Because he wants us to see the connection between Jesus Christ and those rulers. And he teaches us that Jesus Christ is eternal. We think here of Revelation 1 verse 8, where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus Christ. As to his divine nature, as the eternal Son of God, he is the Almighty, the beginning and the end. And he is unchanging. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and always. This applies to all of his attributes. He's always righteous. He's always holy. He is always the enemy of the devil and of the wicked who oppose him. But the emphasis is on the positive. He's always gracious. He's always merciful. He's also always tender and kind, leading and encouraging and instructing and admonishing his people. Therefore, in the third place about Jesus Christ, he is our faithful office bearer. He is the one who brings us the word of God. He is the one who leads us to heaven. He is the one who instructs us and who, when we fall and need to be admonished and return to the right way, he's the one who comes and seeks and saves us. And the significance is that our salvation does not depend upon the men who are our office bearers. The people of God in the Old Testament, don't think for a moment that they did. They didn't. They did not depend upon Moses. They did not depend upon Joshua or any of the other men who led them. And now too, we don't depend upon a Hoeksema, who's gone now anyway, or an Engelsma, or any of these men who are elders and deacons. We depend upon Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Eternal, unchanging God is our office bearer and Savior. But now what does this mean? Does this lead us to reject these men? Does this lead us to say we have no need for these men and that we will not honor or respect these men? No. The point of the passage is this. Jesus Christ is the office bearer, your office bearer who leads and guides you, who cares for you, saves you in this way, through these men. Jesus Christ is present with us, saving us, teaching us the word of God by means of our rulers. So comes the admonition of Jesus Christ. Remember them. And in remembering them and being mindful of them, remember me. Remember that they have his authority. Remember them as they put their faith in Jesus Christ and make him the end of their conversation. And following them, you're following Christ. Remember them that when they are showing you love, they are showing the love and the faithfulness of Christ. Remember them. Yes, pray for them. And may God use our rulers to care for our souls. Amen. Father in heaven, what an awesome thing to think that we are in the presence of Christ. May we give him all the honor, all the respect, the reverence that he deserves when we are in his presence. That means when he is present by means of our rulers. Lord, we know that we are stubborn, rebellious by nature. And that if left to ourselves, we would bring much ruin and discord in the church. And that we would even bring our souls into ruin. Lord, for the sake of the good order and the peace of this congregation, for the sake of the welfare of our souls, bless us that we may receive Jesus Christ as he comes to us by means of our rulers. Lord, bless those men who rule us. Make them faithful, that we may be able to say of them that the end of their conversation is Jesus Christ, and that we may have the confidence that in following them, we are not following mere men, but our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray, amen. Let us sing now Psalter number 275.